Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. When we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust. Here in America, He's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fork Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Have you noticed how I've been waiting?
You have been doing very well. You must have repented.
Yeah, I did. I repented. As a matter of fact, I need to repent every day.
Oh, I do. Oh, yeah. Just once a day?
Oh,
well,
all day long.
I was going to say, I'm multiple times
a day. What was that song years ago, the country song about once a day, all day long? Remember that? You don't remember that?
I don't remember that.
Well, as a highly trained broadcast professional.
You would think I should know that.
And the premier DJ of country music station, 98.9 FM WSIP.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't know that one.
Well, it'll come to me.
Yeah. I could sing it for you.
But go ahead.
That probably wouldn't help you. Once a day, every day, all day long. You don't remember that, do you?
No.
All right, well, maybe this will be an educational experience for you.
Maybe somebody can help me remember.
Yeah. How would they do that?
They could call us up, 789-0318, 789-0318, that or any other question that you may have.
Sure.
Or you could also email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com, godspointofview@yahoo.com. That's good every day,
sure.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Sure.
If you wake up one night and it's on your mind, you can't let.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and text, email it to us.
And periodically, I give my cell phone number out. If folks want to send a text in, they could do that.
About 2 o'clock in the morning.
actually, there are controls on your phone that you can not be disturbed for certain hours. Did you know that was
no?
On your phone? Oh yes.
I need to check
that
out.
Yeah, you need to check that out, brother.
Yeah.
So from 11 to 7, don't mess with it.
That's with the preacher. Preacher needs his rest.
Of course, I do have another phone. But anyway, 6-0-6-3-6-7-0-1-3-7. Love to hear from you if you want to send me a text. I even got a call this morning from a fellow from Manchester, Kentucky, wanting to deliver a load of lumber. He called back twice. I finally said, I was on the other line, and I said, hey, old buddy, you're calling the wrong number, but I sure hope you get that load of
lumber delivered. Yeah. I had a guy call me up one time and said, asked me if a tractor trailer would fit in my driveway. I said, well, yeah, I think so. Well, I'll be up in a few minutes. I said, can I ask you something? He said, yeah. I said, why do you want to bring a tractor trailer?
Yeah.
Well, I've got a load of stuff for you. I said, it's not mine, but you're welcome to bring it.
My, oh, my. Stuff happens.
Stuff happens.
You know, sometimes people get mad at you for calling them by mistake. I never do.
No, I don't mind that.
It happens.
Yeah.
Stuff happens. That's going to be my the title of my first book.
When you got to start writing that?
There's a lot more stuff that has to happen. Now, Timotheus.
It's going to happen to you, brother.
Let me ask you. Yes, it will, if time lasts. Let me ask you a question now. As the old boy says, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Have you had your flu shot?
Yes.
Why?
To prevent the flu. Trying to
get
the flu.
So that's the reason for them.
Why would you ask us a silly question as that?
Well, I heard a televangelist recently indicate that you don't have to be concerned about that.
Why not?
Because Jesus is going to take care of you.
Well, tell that to all the millions of people around that suffering from the flu.
And the 60-some that have died.
Yeah.
Gloria Copeland says Jesus, quote, redeemed us from the curse of the flu. Kenneth Copeland's wife, they have a worldwide ministry. They're both televangelists.
Can I ask a question?
I want you to.
Give me a book, chapter, and verse where he says that he's going to prevent us from getting the flu.
Well, just hold on now. She's going to give you one.
Oh, okay, okay. And, I'm done with the gun.
Both of them served on President Trump's campaign advisory board.
Uh-huh, okay.
And the word there is served. They served on his...
past tense.
According to the website, but their website.
Okay.
They have offices in the United States, Canada, Africa, Asia, Australia, Europe, Ukraine, and Latin America. Now, without further ado, let's just listen to what she said. You know, if you're quoting somebody, you got to be careful to get it just right.
Got to get it just right.
But if they're saying it and you're playing what has been recorded, then usually, you know, you're going to come out all right on that. So let's see if we can get this...
See, we get it to work.
This
here.
Newfangled recording business. See now, Timotheus.
Well, listen, partners. We don't have a flu season. We've got a duck season, a deer season. But we don't have a flu season. And don't receive it when somebody threatens you with everybody's getting the flu. We've already had our shot. He bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. That's what we stand on. And by his stripes, we were healed. If you've already got the flu, I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, I pray for every person that has symptoms of flu. I'm asking you, Lord, by your supernatural power, to heal them now from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Flu, I bind you off of the people in the name of Jesus. Jesus himself gave us the flu shot. He redeemed us from the curse of flu. And we receive it and we take it and we are healed by his stripes. Amen. You know, the Bible says he himself bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. And by his stripes, we were healed. When we were healed, we are healed. So get on the Word, stay on the Word, and if you say, well, I don't have any symptoms of the flu, well, great, that's the way it's supposed to be. Just keep saying that, I'll never have the flu. I'll never have the flu. Put words, inoculate yourself with the Word of God. He himself bore my sicknesses, carried my diseases, and by his stripes, I was healed. I am healed. And Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah.
All right now, Timotheus. Let's see now. You know, I don't like criticizing people.
Okay.
I don't think it's profitable.
No.
I think if you can just ignore something. For instance, if you and I are having a conversation and you say something totally off the wall to me.
You mean like I have many times?
like last week. You say something totally off the wall to me. I shouldn't be criticizing you publicly for it,
mm-hmm.
But if you get on the air and say something, it's public. I mean, everybody heard you. Everybody. Now we all say stupid things. We all say things we don't want to say. Sometimes people will say you said, and I'll say no, I didn't. They'll say yes, you did. I heard you say it, and I go back and listen to the recording.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bad thing about recording things.
It never changes.
Facts are tricky things.
And call us out, brother.
And when you say something and it's recorded, and I've done it, I've gone back and listened before, only to find that, yep, I really did say that.
Yeah,
it wasn't exactly the way I meant to say it, maybe, but I did say it. So
yeah.
Sometimes someone says, well, you don't always agree with everybody. I don't always agree with myself.
So sometimes you have to eat a little crow.
Well, you do. You do. None of us are perfect, and we all say things that are
this recording though that we just heard.
Yeah.
I don't think it's something mistaken. I think she is pretty adamant about what she's trying to say. She
well,
had intent.
She's
get her point across.
She's a televangelist, and they've been doing this for many, many years.
Yeah.
And that's what they believe. They have this name it and claim it kind of that's not exactly what it's called anymore. Maybe it's just receive it. It's, you know, you receive it and
well, my question is if you're a God-fearing, Jesus-believing Bible reading Christian, a faithful Christian,
yes,
you
sir.
End up with the flu, are they saying then you're not a believer?
Well,
I just kind of, when I listened to that, I thought, okay, so if we do everything we know and the Lord knows our heart, I mean, I'm just, where does that leave us?
Well, here's the quote again. ABC News headline, Trump advisor says, of course, they want to beat up on the president. Trump advisor, she was on his campaign, but I don't know that she's still advising him.
Yeah.
Trump advisor says, ignore flu shots and inoculate yourself with the word of God. Newsweek had this headline, Trump's evangelical advisor says Jesus invented the flu shot and will stop you from getting sick. Well,
that's the media turning it around to sell what they want to sell.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
But she did, in fact, make a pretty bold statement. I think she said Jesus himself gave us the flu shot. He redeemed us from the curse of the flu. And we receive it and take it, and we're healed by his stripes. Now, what she's doing there, she's quoting from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Mm-hmm. And Isaiah there is talking about our spiritual side. He's talking about that Christ's death on the cross, his wounds, his stripes, has healed us spiritually.
Yeah.
Our sins. As a matter of fact, he mentions specifically our sins, our diseases, our sin sick diseases. He bore them on the cross. Now, am I saying that I don't believe that God, in fact, could heal someone of a disease? I'm not saying that at all, because I believe that God still works miracles and still heals.
Oh, I had two of them happen for myself here.
And we want to hear about them. But I think we have to rightly divide the word of truth. So while I don't want to be so critical of somebody, I do think the scripture that has been used bears more scrutiny.
Are you waving the caution flag?
I am waving the caution flag.
Okay.
And maybe doing more than that. I think she's just taking it out of its context. And if you have a tendency to believe that all of the gifts of the Spirit are still working today, as a lot of
people do,
Pentecostal folks do, and they're wonderful people and all of that, I'm not saying anything against them. I just don't think that particular slant of biblical teaching is still in effect today.
Mm-hmm.
I think God can do what he wants to do. When she says by his stripes we were healed, or when Isaiah says that, Isaiah's talking about spiritual healing that Jesus purchased, for us at the cross. And so there's a couple, three things to remember when you hear about this kind of thing being propagated. First, Jesus is still the great physician.
Amen.
We mustn't forget that.
Yep.
Someone has calculated that of the Lord's 37 recorded miracles while he was on the earth, 28 involved physical healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so physical healing was a part of his ministry. You remember when Jesus sent out the apostles, he commissioned them in Matthew 10, quote, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. And then we also learned this of Jesus in the Hebrew letter, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yep.
And all of that is true.
Yes.
But, again, rightly dividing the word of truth. The apostles were proving they were who they said they were by doing these things and proving that Jesus, in fact, had risen from the dead. So it's very important that we understand that. Physical healing. He is the great physician. Number two, second thing I think we need to remember is that Jesus' death for our sins is not a promise that God will always heal us physically.
Amen.
Paul pleaded with God to heal him
of
his thorn in the flesh. He didn't do it. 2 Corinthians 12. Each of Jesus' disciples, except Judas and John, were martyred. Now, Judas killed himself.
Yeah.
The others were killed, were martyred for their faith. John died of old age.
Yeah.
You see, if God intends to heal us of every physical malady, we'll never die.
True. Very true.
Yeah. So,
we'd live forever.
Sure. Jesus' death for our sins is not a promise that he's always going to heal us physically. And thirdly, we must be careful about suggesting that a lack of physical healing proves a lack of faith.
Yeah. Back to the point I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. See, Scripture teaches that the prayer of faith will save one who is sick. That's James 5, verse 15. But if you read that in context, it's a principle that's being stated, not an unconditional promise.
Mm-hmm.
In that chapter, you'll notice he talks about Elijah, he talks about Job, Job suffered greatly.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And he didn't sin.
Yep.
God couldn't charge him with wrong.
Yep.
And yet he suffered. Job 1:22, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. So people who are suffering from illness and they're not healed, for someone to say that, well, you don't have enough faith, that is really not biblical, and that's hurtful.
Yeah, oh, yes.
And maybe one final thing. Miraculous healing and medical practice are companions, not competitors.
Yeah.
They're not fighting against one another.
Yeah.
So our Lord's commands to serve him with our minds, Matthew 22, to improve what he has created. He told Adam, he said, work it and keep it. Talking about the garden.
Mm-hmm.
God's given us the ability to improve things as we live in this world. And so one of the things we've done is improve our medical procedures.
Absolutely.
God's given us the ability to do that. We all need the great physician, but we need to be careful that we understand that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost.
Amen.
And his main purpose was to save us from sin, not simply from physical disease. We have physical disease for a couple of reasons. Number one, we live in a fallen world.
Absolutely.
Number two, sometimes we bring it on ourselves. I'm not saying we always do, but sometimes we do.
Mm-hmm.
You drink a quart of liquor for 40 years. If you live that long, you're probably going to have cirrhosis of the liver.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that everybody who has cirrhosis of the liver is an alcoholic.
That's true.
So you have to understand the context of whatever you're talking about. 7890318.
You know, I was thinking, if real true Christian people that are in the church, if the Lord always healed us, then the preacher would never have to go to the hospital.
Never. Never.
Think how much time that would free you up.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm going this afternoon.
And probably wouldn't, like you said earlier, if nothing bad was going to happen to us, he's, and in that context, you'd never visit a funeral home.
Why would you?
Yeah.
The parable is told about the old man who was given one prayer. He could pray anything he wanted to, and God would grant it. So he prayed, Lord, help me to not die. I'm going to live right here, not die.
Yeah.
And so he lived to be 100, and you know, he said his pace has slowed down a little bit by 100.
Yeah.
Then 150. Then 350.
Uh-oh.
Then 500, then 600. Now he's so old, and his arthritis is killing him. He can't see, he can't breathe good, he can't go anyplace, and he's now begging God, oh, God, let me die.
Yeah. Why are we never satisfied?
We're never satisfied.
Hmm.
We're never satisfied. That was the question that, what was her name, Emily asked in the production of Our Town when she came up out of the grave. They tried to, the spirits in the graveyard tried to persuade her not to go back. She wanted to go back and just have one more visual. She's died now, and her family's got to go on without her, and we know that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
But she saw. They said, don't go. She said, just one more look. And she saw, when she went to see what was going on, she saw the same jealousy, the same grief, the same misery, the same backbiting. And then she made this observation. And she went back to the cemetery, by the way, because there was more peace there in the other world.
Mm-hmm.
She said, why is it that human beings never learn?
Yeah,
I'm paraphrasing there. Why is it that they never learn?
That's very true.
Yeah, we're never satisfied.
And we think about physical ailments that we go through, situations that you mentioned, Job.
Yeah, yeah.
Job, it wasn't anything he did, but it has been used in a mighty way to express how the Lord works, how Satan works, how faith works, those type of things. And I've always tried to think of, especially elderly people, going through something, why would the Lord let them lay and just be there and not be able to get up and get out and do things, this and that.
Yeah.
But the Lord will use that for some reason. It could be a testimony, because I can tell you, if I'm laying in a bed for 6 months and I can't get up and I'm ill and I'm taking medicine and I'm back and forth to the hospital and this and that, and you see somebody going through that and they're still faithful and they're still praising the Lord.
Yeah. So let me ask you, Timothy, how much more do you love your grandmother today?
Oh, it's more precious. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Let's see. Monday, my brother-in-law called me and said that my grandmother, who is 98.
That's Marie Combs.
She was 98 September the 9th, and Granny does well, but her heart gets out of rhythm at times. So my brother-in-law called me and said they've took Granny to the hospital. She is, her heart's out of rhythm. She's an AFib. So I went to go to the hospital. My sister called me and was just distraught, and she had started throwing up blood. And that gets very serious when you start thinking somebody 98 years old, with AFib, and then you start, it's a bad situation. So long story short, she did that four different times. A lot of blood came out of her. And the doctor told us, Monday night, he said, basically, we've done all we can do. She's not responding to the medicine, and it's up to her. I believe I would think about calling some family.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really didn't think that she'd make it to the day to daylight. And we started praying. And then, of course, you came and you prayed with us. And Tuesday morning, when I got back to the hospital, we got up in ICU about 11 o'clock down here at Paul B. Hall. Tuesday morning, my older sister came out and she said, "You got to come back here and see this. You won't believe it." Granny was awake. She is alert.
Wow.
And yesterday when I left her, she was sitting on the side of the bed eating supper. So I told her Tuesday morning, I said, "Granny, you're living proof that the Lord answers prayer."
Amen. Did she eat all that chicken that was on her plate?
I would say she skinned it down to the bone.
Yeah. You sent me a picture of that. A great big old lunch. And I, as I told you and the church last night, before I came over to church, I stopped by to see her, and she was just as talkative as she could be.
Oh, yeah.
She's, you talk about somebody that's just a joy to be around.
She is.
Now, she'll talk to you.
And let me tell you something, she'll set you straight, too.
Yeah.
That's a grandson, I can
tell you. Yeah.
But my point of that is not just with Granny having to go through that. It shows me that the Lord is still in the healing business. You didn't play that. You didn't talk about all these things to say that he is not still in the healing business.
I did not.
He uses doctors. He uses nurses. And if he wants to do it himself, he can do it that.
He can do it himself.
Because he is God.
He is God.
We don't always know the answers to the questions, but we can ask someday when we get there.
It's sure we can. It's a lot like this. God could save everybody, but he's chosen to work through us.
Yeah. Yep.
God could save everybody's life physically, but he's chosen, for the most part, to work through doctors and nurses and healthcare providers. He shows his power that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we said earlier that if everybody stayed well, nobody got sick, then nobody'd ever die. And we'd have to live in these sin-cursed bodies.
Oh.
Go back to Marie. She doesn't want to live in the body that she has for 150 more years.
She told me, she said, "Timmy, your body just wears out," and she said, "Granny's tired."
Yeah, and she mentioned again last night, she's ready to go. When we prayed, we talked about being ready to go. We're just here until the Lord sees fit to call us home.
And my point I'd like to make, if somebody's out there, and I'm sure there's people listening that's going through an ailment, a physical deformity, whatever it could be, why would the Lord let me do this? And having our pity party, and I have my pity parties too, but stop and think that you are an example to somebody else for the Lord.
Yeah.
And keep that attitude.
We leave encouraged when we're with people like that
Absolutely.
Encourage us, and we see them so close to death, and then they bounce back.
So you're a gift to somebody.
Yeah, you
so
really
always,
are.
Always be faithful, always, you know, being a good spirit that the Lord is using you in his way.
And for those times when we question, why are you leaving me here? He's leaving you here because there's something left for you to do.
Amen.
You say, well, you mean just encouraging somebody? Oh, that can save a life.
Absolutely.
That can save someone's life.
Yeah. Even after you're gone sometimes.
Sure.
You leave your testimony.
Sure. Sure.
So, something to think about.
Yeah, 789-0318, or you could email us at
godspointofview@yahoo.com.
Well, Timotheus, and folks, you know the Winter Olympics is right on us now.
It starts tonight, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it does. Winter Olympics set the record for promiscuity.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the headline.
I should have made a big deal out of that.
Yeah. you know, North Korea is making the headlines. He's supposed to, Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, his sister.
Did I say his name right?
I think so.
You wouldn't really know, would
No.
you?
But his sister's going to South Korea.
Yeah. What's her name?
I don't know.
Oh,
I can't remember. I heard it on the news, but I don't remember.
Do they name girls over there?
I'm sure they do.
All righty then.
Here now.
Kim Jong-un's sister is going to attend the ceremonies tonight. And they also are doing something else over there. They are providing 110,000 condoms to the athletes. By the way, it's also a record number. A record number for a Winter Olympics. There's been all kinds of articles recently talking about and chronicling the sexual promiscuity of the athletes. And I heard one say last night on the news, said, well, what, you know, pretty much like, what do you, I'm paraphrasing now, what do you expect? You got all these 20-year-olds in spandex. So if you're in spandex, you know, they just can't help themselves, I guess.
I guess not.
Immorality and athletes don't have to go together.
No.
Just to go back and look at the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mm.
Listen to those guys.
Oh, yeah.
Giving glory to God.
Yeah. I didn't get to see it, but I heard about it.
They had, I saw it later on a clip. They had a platform there. They could do whatever they chose to do, say whatever they wanted to say, and they gave glory to God.
Mm.
When you compare that to what else is going on, the other things pale in significance. God expects, wants, desires that we glorify Him, and we do that through right living, not sinful living.
Yeah.
So will I watch some of the Olympics? Probably watch some of the Olympics. You know, this thing with this doctor who, a former doctor who abused all these gymnasts.
Yeah.
I just have kind of a bad taste in my mouth over the Olympics in general. Will I watch any of it? Probably some of it. Will I think about these things that have been in the news here lately? Yeah. Yeah, I will.
Well, it's just, I'm thinking athletes train for years and years and years and years to perform in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And they go there. And that's the big headline?
That's the headline.
That's the big thought? That's what you...
It's everywhere, bro.
I mean, if you're going to train for your lifetime to go there, wouldn't you be focused on that when you got there?
I would think. But sin is overtaking every area of life. You see, when a person does not reject evil, then that person will face the judgment of God. Psalm 36:4. God loves everybody. And He loves everybody every day, but God hates sin every day. And when preachers gather to ask God's blessing on one of the few clinics in America that performs, I guess we'd call it late-term abortions, that grieves the Lord. But there were preachers who gathered to bless the efforts of that abortion center. And now... we hear a lot of talk about apps. I saw this morning, I think it was, a whole new series of apps that have come out, you know, for your iPhone. And we're entertained by some of those. But there's a new app, a new Bible app, Timotheus, which you may not have on your phone. It's a Bible app that has been produced. It's called Devotionals Highlighting Pro-LGBT Positions.
You're kidding.
Yeah. No, that's a Bible app.
Well, they can call it a Bible app.
That's what I'm saying. They call it a Bible app.
Okay.
And when that happens,
yep.
Our Father in heaven mourns.
Yeah.
He mourns. Billy Sunday said it like this, a preacher of yesteryear. He said, quote, "One reason sin flourishes is that it's treated like a cream puff instead of a rattlesnake."
You don't hear a whole lot anymore from some religious organizations about God's wrath.
Yeah.
I heard a statement the other day that that there's grace and there's truth. And this pastor said, I think that we're getting into churches that preach a whole lot about grace, but they're leaving the truth out.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, too much.
Too much grace and not enough truth.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View. We'd like to invite you to the church for services. Sunday school gets underway at 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning. Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday evening life groups at 6 p.m. And then Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We'd love to have you to come and visit with us at Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. And thanks again for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.